Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over, Lord, do anything You want with me. Work Your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. Thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you this time about when your child is gone. I love working in the kitchen. Does that blow your mind? I know that nowadays any woman who's got half a brain is not really supposed to love working in the kitchen. She's supposed to get out of the kitchen and do something, quote, fulfilling, unquote. But the fact is, my hands are busy. My physical body is in action. I'm doing something useful, usually for somebody else. I even like to clean bathrooms, because I know exactly what to do. I know what to do it with. I know how long it's going to take me. And I know exactly what the results are going to be. I can see them. So in many ways, it's more fun than writing or preparing a talk, because I don't always know exactly what to do. I certainly don't always know what to do it with. I don't know what the results are going to be. Well, one day I was doing what I love. I was working in the kitchen, and it came over me like a sudden tide of loneliness that my one and only child was about to leave for college. Valerie was the joy of my life. For 17 years, she had been the joy of my life. When she was about 11, I was talking with a friend about the fact that she had been such a joy. And this friend kind of rolled her eyes and looked at me, and she said, "Well, wait till she gets to teenage. That's when things get tough." Truth is, I'm still waiting. And there's never been that silent year, that separation, that rebellion that I'm supposed to expect. She has been the joy of my life. I never really had any teenage problems. She didn't give me 5 minutes of real worry. But that day in the kitchen, suddenly it came over me, my job is just about over. The job which I've loved more than anything else in the world. And I sat down at the wicker table, and I picked up the phone. I called my friend Van. She's the sort of person that I could say anything to. A woman that I've known ever since we were college students together. Then she went to Africa as a missionary. We corresponded rather infrequently, but over the years. And then we lived together for 6 years in New Hampshire between my first and second marriages. And so I called Van, and I told her how I was feeling about the fact that Valerie was about to leave. And I started to cry. I heard Van's voice, quiet and steady on the other end, and she said, "It's okay, Bet." I knew what she meant. She knew that I knew what she meant. Because Van and I both believe in a sovereign God. We believe things like what Julian of Norwich wrote, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." Van was not making light of the fact that it's a painful thing for a mother to face the empty nest. She was not belittling my sorrow by saying, "It's okay, Bet." She wasn't saying, "Forget it, cheer up, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. It's not all that bad." What she was reminding me in just those simple words, "It's okay, Bet," was that in the end, I was going to see that even this loss, even this form of suffering, which is part of life, it's one of those cycles we talked about, where life comes out of death. This, too, could be a gateway to joy. This, too, could be an opportunity for me to offer up something to God, to give Him what looked to me like a crushed dandelion. You know, when Jesus came into the world and became a little baby and then grew up as a child and a man, he demonstrated for us in fleshly human terms that we could understand what God is really like. We read in the first chapter of John, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. And there are times when all the Bible reading in the world is not enough, but the Word of God has to be made flesh. That was exactly what was happening on the phone that day when I was sobbing in my kitchen. Van became the Word made flesh for me. She wasn't telling me anything new. She knew that she couldn't say anything to me that I didn't already know. I knew my Bible, I think, almost as well as Van does, and she knew that I knew. She also knew that we need to hear it. There may be somebody out there today who has walked with the Lord many more years than I have. There may be somebody out there who walks with God in an intimacy of communion that I haven't even begun to understand. What have I got to say to you? Nothing new. Nothing that's true is new. But I can say it's okay. It's okay because all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. You remember that when Jesus had ridden triumphantly into Jerusalem on the donkey and was met with praises and palm branches and hosannas, that the disciples came to him and told him that there were some Greeks there who wanted to see Jesus. They had heard about his raising of Lazarus from the dead. Naturally, they were excited to see a man who could work miracles like that. That was impressive. But Jesus turned to his disciples, and he said, I'm going to tell you what glory really is. And he gave them these strange, powerful, incisive words. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. We're back to the natural cycle that we see in all of nature's processes. If the corn of wheat doesn't fall into the ground and die, there will never be a field of golden waving grain. There will never be wheat to make flour, to make bread, to feed the hungry. And you and I have got to be bread broken for the world. And for me, part of the breaking process was accepting the empty nest. Not a major form of suffering, but at that moment, that's the way it seemed to me. As somebody has said, the toothache you've got right now is the worst toothache in the world. I was going to be lonely, yes, but it would be a new potential for life-giving if I accepted it. Jesus was prepared to be a corn of wheat, falling into the ground and dying, in order that life might spring up for you and me. Will you follow him there? Offering the empty nest, offering your loneliness in whatever form it happens to take, will make something quite different out of it. It's transformable beyond your wildest imaginings. As the 5 grains of rice that the beggar so stingily apportioned out to the one who came along and asked him to give him something were turned into 5 grains of pure gold. You really can't imagine what the king will do with your offering. It's for the wholeness of the body. It's for the glory of God. As each member grows in holiness, the body grows in wholeness. Just as in the cycles of life, out of each death comes a new form of life. If the child never left home, never went away from college, if the fledgling never left the nest, that would be sad, wouldn't it? You know that the eagle has the custom of stirring up the nest when the eagle sees that it's time for the nestlings to learn to fly. The eagle stirs up the nest, shoves those babies out over the precipice, and then flies below them, spreads its wings, bears them up, lets them go again, swoops down, bears them up again and again, in order that they may learn to fly. The child must leave the nest. The mother must suffer loneliness, but it gives her a new potential for life-giving.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.